Yeah, and thank you so much, Leslie, for bringing that song to us this morning. Thanks for Pat and for Pam for singing along. I am absolutely convinced that, Leslie, you have a really proud spouse that is sitting on the front row this morning the entire time. But thank you for sharing that guilt with us. The scripture reading this morning is going to be a little bit different. It's going to show up on the screen, but rather than turning toward the book of Romans, we're going to be among the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us the story about Jesus. Mark chapter 11, it's going to be 22 through 23, so that's where we're going to be. It's one of those things that when you do pray, there are times that God does send you in different directions, and this is one of those moments. Mark chapter 11, just two verses, 22 through 23. And Jesus answered them, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart and believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, we do give you thanks this morning for the words that you are speaking here, but also in the multitude of words and in the power of your Holy Spirit that you have spoken throughout as we have gathered here this morning. And we pray and ask, Lord, that as we come together, that your words will continue to speak to us, that your Holy Spirit may continue to guide us, and Lord, that your mercy, that your faith will come together in our hearts and our minds and our souls. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the words that you speak into my heart. I thank you, oh God, for the directions that you will take, well, me at times, and pray and ask that as I speak this morning, that you, oh God, that you may take these words that I'm sharing, and that they will be words that are faithful to you, and also words that are acceptable in your sight. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You're likely not surprised that there are many places throughout the scriptures that talk about faith. I was really interested in our children. I don't think I've ever asked them if they, that word faith, I don't think it's one of those things I've ever shared with them, but I was certainly happy that they responded with knowing what faith is. But there's this beautiful verse of scripture that comes in Paul, who writes a letter to the Corinthians. "We walk by faith, not by sight." It's probably one that you've heard before. You don't even have to be part of the church. You don't even have to be familiar with the Apostle Paul, because these are words that live well outside of the church, well outside of the Bible. But we walk by faith and not by sight. How easy is it to do that all the time, to walk by faith and not by sight? And I guess on the other hand, thinking about that, how easy is it to do that? But how hard is it? How hard is it to take those words and say, "I walk by faith and not by sight"? It's a beautiful picture of what faith is. It is our trust. It is our trust and our belief in someone else, and knowing that they are going to be the person that they said they were going to be, but also in knowing that they were going to follow through with what they said that they were going to do. But how easy is it to always do this, always walk by faith and not by sight? How easy is it that on our walks and in our lives to even find moments and places, and hopefully short-lived, but even sometimes longer, where we've lost our faith? Well, this verse, I think, is a helpful reminder that faith is always linked. It's always linked to what we see right in front of us. And we are, as Leslie was sharing this morning, we are, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about this kind of faith. This kind of faith that is, well, at times easy to lose, but also this kind of faith that is always right in front of us. Because to walk by faith, no matter what comes up, no matter what we face, no matter the people that we find that who will either disappoint us or else lead us into those very best places in our lives, we're going to talk about walking by faith in a way that no matter what comes up, that we are going to continue to do it. And it's something that I am thinking about, something that I've been calling, is having a resilient faith. And what I want to do is, from the very beginning, as we get into these next couple of weeks, is I want to be really clear that I don't want to just preach about a resilient faith. I want us to start to take a moment and sort of try this on, to try this resilient faith on, see what it feels like, and not just talk about creating a resilient faith, but over the next few weeks, creating a kind of resilient faith that we are all able to live with, one that fits us, that one that connects with our lives, and one that enables us to, well, really do that, walking by faith and not by sight. And because of that, let me just share with you a little bit about where this all started with me. Last year, I had an opportunity to meet with a counselor that was in a school, connected with a school. Well, this is a person that also does private practice, but tremendous work that is built around adolescence is where this person is connected with. But at the end of the conversation, not really wrapping up, there was this big open-ended question that was posed to me by this counselor. And again, primarily in a school, primarily in adolescence, but spreads out to private practice as well, and says, what would you like to see? Honestly, it's one of those questions, you know, this big open-ended question I haven't really thought about, but, you know, it was wrapping up, but not a rush. You know, you've had those moments with people, those meetings with people where you're getting toward the end, but it's not a rush. And so I imagined that in this school that has a little under 960 kids, 960 students that are there, not to mention the staff, the administrator, all the teachers that are there, and first words out of my mouth, I said, you know, I would like to see resiliency built into all these kids. Everyone, in fact, not only these kids that are here, but everyone in the school, beyond just the classrooms, but all the teachers, all the administrators, and begin to imagine, what would that look like? What would that look like to imagine that not only were schools doing this, but places like Grace Point and churches that are around all these schools building resilience into the lives, again, of not only kids, but teachers, of administrators, but this idea of resilience. So that's really what started my journey, and again, last year, of this idea of a resilient faith. Because my own preconceived notions, my own preconceived ideas, is that I've carried this idea with me throughout my life. I've carried it with me, didn't have it when I was a kid, but quickly adopted it as an adult, that said, hey, you know, kids are resilient. Kids, they bounce back. Now, I don't know if you've said that before, but those are words that have easily come out of my mouth over and over again. And anybody, am I the only one? Kids are resilient, kids bounce back. You know, it's one of those things. One of the interesting things about this is that there is pretty strong evidence and data to show us that's not always the case. There is a wealth of data that has come in the past few years that shows us that kids don't always bounce back. They're not always resilient. Now, that is to say, we have an opportunity before us. We have an overwhelming opportunity to couple resiliency with faith. And in fact, make resilient faith part of the Grace Point way. The intentionality behind this is that where we don't just talk about it, but we feel it and we live it out. We pass it on to others. The kind of resilient faith that Jesus invited his own disciples to picture. The kind where Jesus would invite his own disciples to say to this mountain, move, and it will move. To be taken up and thrown into the sea. This is the way that Mark captures this verse. To be taken up and thrown into the sea. Matthew will also pick up on this idea too. So it's not only Mark that is writing about this, but Matthew will write about this as well. But talk about walking by faith and not by sight. When you look at a mountain and say, take this mountain and throw it into the sea, can you imagine? Can you even begin to imagine that kind of faith? Now, there is a really helpful definition of faith that comes in further into the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, in fact, will remind us that faith is the assurance. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things that are hoped for. Faith is the conviction of things that are not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. There's two ideas that come to life. That faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and is the evidence of things not seen. Now, when is the last time that you saw a mountain that was pushed into the sea? Well, what Hebrews reminds us, faith is the assurance that it can happen, even when we haven't seen it yet. I mean, when is the last time, if we really reflect in our own lives, when is the last time that we saw mountains that were moved for someone with faith that you thought was surely going to crush them? I was serving in a church one time, and there was a tremendous drummer. He's a wonderful drummer. Now, this is one of the things that tends to happen with drummers over time, but this drummer would play too loud on the Sunday morning. I know that none of you can ever imagine that a drummer would play too loud, but this is a drummer that would play too loud. But it was hard to argue with because he's such an excellent drummer. He played really well. But he was a part of this band that was in this church that I was serving at, and he called his worship leader one morning, and he was in tears because what he had done is this drummer had lost all, well, he'd lost all of his identifying factors that are in this world. He lost his driver's license, he lost his Social Security card, and he lost his birth certificate. Now, you are essentially erased from the planet if you have lost all three of those. And so, and I don't know where worship leaders are trained at and where they get the book and the manual for this, but I don't know many worship leaders that are ready for that phone call, but this is the phone call that came, where he had lost all of his stuff. Now, essentially what he was doing is he was applying for a brand new job. He was in this transition place like this, and so he was applying for a brand new job, and so he stuck everything together into his wallet so that he could fill out his paperwork, and in essence lost it, and then called his very faithful worship leader on the phone and said, "I need some help," and in tears said, "I don't know what I'm going to do next." So just for a minute, no identification, no job. He talked to his worship leader, who slowly and methodically started to make phone calls and appointments, and they prayed a whole lot through that, and slowly began to reshape and restructure his identity. The way that faith is defined is that it is the assurance of things that are hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. The prophet Isaiah, a faithful person in his own right, will say, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain." Valleys are lifted up, mountains are made low, uneven ground becomes level, rough places become a plain. That is what faith has the possibility of doing, and this is what a worship leader and a drummer were able to do. That phone call after phone call, appointment after appointment, and as grueling as it was, and the people that wouldn't answer the phone, the people that wouldn't show up for the appointment, the mountain became a little bit lower, and a little bit lower, and a little bit lower, until he was able to start a brand new job. It's out of this tradition that Jesus invites his disciples to walk by faith and not by sight, to feel that the assurance that they can have for things that are hoped for, and the evidence that begins to mount when things are not clearly seen. When we walk by faith and not by sight, what we are doing is we are building that resiliency in our lives. I mean, a resilient faith is this vision of a faith that is so big that mountains can be thrown into the sea. But it's also the ability to walk in that kind of faith when it seems that nothing is going to move this mountain. And as Jesus reminds us, when resilient faith prevails, it's when we start to believe it in our own hearts. And this is likely the hardest part of growing a resilient faith, is letting it grow and flourish and come to life in our hearts. And this is what I want to invite all of you to do this week, is to walk in a kind of faith that is able to toss mountains into the sea, to rebuild lives and not just identifications. To walk in a kind of faith that makes the uneven ground a little bit easier to walk on. And this week to walk by this kind of faith with your whole heart. We all know, this is well documented, we all know how good walking is for our hearts. Let's see how good walking by faith is for our hearts. Let's see how good walking by faith is at diminishing the doubt that can so easily and so quickly arise in all of our hearts. I remember walking out of that counselor's office that day, walking past classrooms, walking by lunchrooms, walking by the office with the aquarium that is in that office that is supposed to calm everyone as soon as you are called into the principal's office. But every one of those 960 kids, resilient kids, is there any way that can happen? That's a whole lot of kids. I mean, is it possible for every one of these kids? Is it possible, again, walking by the lunchroom, walking by the classrooms, is it possible for all these teachers, for all these administrators? And you know what happens. You know what happens? That doubt immediately rushes in. Doubt about, well, maybe it can happen to the majority, but certainly not all of them. Jesus reminds us it's possible for all of them. And it's not a vision problem. It's not a problem of imagining the mountain that is so big. It's not a vision problem. Resilient faith. The problem happens in our hearts over and over again. In fact, the only thing that is standing between us and a resilient faith, living a resilient faith, is what is happening in our hearts. Jesus reminds us, do not doubt, but believe. It's a heart problem. This week, imagine if we begin to let our hearts overtake our doubts, to let resilient faith live in our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. How grateful are we to have a faith in you, Jesus? How grateful are we to trust in your mercy and in your grace? How extraordinarily grateful are we this morning, O Lord, to imagine those mountains moving in all of our lives, to imagine all those rough places becoming a little bit clearer as we take that very next step. And Lord, we pray, come into our hearts. Forgive us of our sins that we have, well, sinned against you. And in that forgiveness, Lord, free us. Free us to live with all of our hearts. Free us to live, O God, without doubt, knowing, O God, that resilient faith is offered to all of us. Knowing, O God, that resilient faith is what truly can save our communities, our neighborhoods, and our schools. And pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.